Today's shir is Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Tes. We will begin on Daf Ches Amud Beis, the last words of the Amud Rav Ashi Omar. The Gemara continues to explain the machlokes that we had in the Mishnah, where we had a machlokes where somebody was Maitzi Shemra on his wife because he got married, and he comes after the marriage and he says Lemotzasi Lebitcha Psulim. The kala was supposed to be a psula, and she wasn't. And the halacha is, the Torah says, that if what he said is a lie, it's a mighty shemra. Torah says, v'ontra oysa mei kesef, he has to pay 100 kesef to the girl's father, and v'loisi elisha, she has to be his wife. But if what he said is true, so the halach is that she, of course, loses her ksuba, and she's put to death. If there were edim, we discussed extensively in our previous year, edim require hasra, but if everything is accordingly, she would be chayv misa. The question that we had in our Mishnah is, how many dayonim do we need to have for such a din Torah? Rameyah says that three are enough, because we can look at it as a monetary case. And Rabbanan say we need 23, because as we just said, this could be a case, a capital case, a case of nefashos. And the Gemara has been offering many different explanations of that machloikas. Rav Ashi Amar, the Mishnah, is speaking about a case, kigoyim, that the case of our Mishnah is that the husband, as we just said, wants to deprive her of the ksuba, and he brought edim to the fact that she had that type of relationship. But as we just mentioned and discussed in our previous year, no one could get a punishment without getting hasra. And what happened here was the asra b'ala malkus, the edim, instead of giving her hasra, that for what she's doing, she's going to be chayiv misa, if what she did, that she had an adulterous relationship as an arusa. Instead of that, what the hasra was, the hasra was that she's going to get malchus, the asra bala malchus, the asra bala ktala. And now it says the Gemara, the kamifigi, the plukta de vishmav rabbanim. And this is a machloikis that we had between vishmav rabbanim. Because now it turns into being a Malkus case, a case of Malkus. The Tanan, Malkus, Bishloisha, the Tanakama's opinion, our Mishnah says that in the entire of Malkus, you only need to have three Dayanim, Rishmal Amru, Best Bishloisha, 23. So the fundamental point in understanding this Gemara is a Gemara in Masechta Malkus, Tafyud Gimel Amud Beis. We know that if a woman, this woman who, if she was an arusa, she was mezana with edim, with asra, would be chayiv misa. What is the halacha, as we just mentioned, that if instead of giving her the asra that she's chayiv misa, they gave asra that she's going to be chayiv malchus? The Gemara calls this lav shenitin las horas misa bezdin, a lav that the proper asra would have been Misa, but they gave her Asra for Malkus. Will she get Malkus? So our Gemara is clearly of the opinion that a lav shenitin laseres misa bezdin, if a lav that which the Torah says you get Malkus, the Edom get Misa, the Edom give Asra for Malkus, that woman will be subject to Malkus. But now the discussion is, now that we determined that in such a case, you get Malkus, how many dayorim are required for Malkus? And that's a machlokes that we already learned in the Mishnah, that the Tanakhama says 3, and Rabbi Shmuel says 23. So of course the Bach asks an obvious question. He says, it turns out that according to this explanation of Rav Ashi, the machlokes of how many tanoim you have to have, how many, if you have, if how many dayonim we have for the entire of Malkus, this is the exact same machloikis. So why was it necessary for the Mishnah to teach us the same machloikis twice? So answers the Bach. The machloikis of Yishmael and Rabbanan in the Mishnah is only that in a case of Malkus, which is not a case where normally Yechayiv Misa. It's a regular case of Malkus. But here we're speaking about a new type of case. Here we're talking about a case of a lav shenitin las horas misas bezdin. In such a case, it might be, says the Bach, that both of them would agree that it's not the same amount of dayonim that we've been speaking about. And the Bach is very interesting. The Bach says he's not sure, does that mean that everybody will agree that in such a case, three dayonim are sufficient? Or everybody will agree that in such a case, everybody will agree that you need to have 23 dayonim. And an argument can be made in both ways. The argument that everybody will agree you need 23, because really, this is a case of Misa, just the Hasro was given wrong. Or on the other hand, since this is not your standard case of Malkus, maybe over here, the halacha will be that three dayonim are enough. And that's why, even though this machloikis of how many dayonim you have for the entire of Malkus was already stated in the Mishnah, it needs to be restated again. Ravina says, our Mishnah speaking about a case where a husband bought three Edim, that his wife had this type of relationship. Kigoin, that he brought three Edim, but Nitsa Echmerhem, Karv Apostle. And one of these Edim was found to be disqualified to be an aid. And this is a machloikus of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Eliezer de Rekiva, which we're going to learn. The pasuk says, the Tanan, the Mishnah Masech, the Machas, Daf Hei Yom Beis, references the pasuk in the Torah that says, Apishnei Eidim Ashloisha Eidim Yumas Hameis. And the Mishnah asks the question, if two Eidim are sufficient to be considered the right amount of Eidim for a case, why does the Torah speak about three? And the Tanakhama says that the reason is that two Edim can be Mazim Shloish Edim. We've learned, and we're going to learn, the halacha of Hazama, of Edim come in and say testimony, and then other Edim come and say, your testimony cannot be correct, because Imano HaYisem, you were with us elsewhere. The Torah says that second pair are believed. And what's going to be if the first group that came to say Edis were three Edim? And then the amount of Edom that came to be Mazim were two Edom. So maybe here we should consider that two Edom cannot be Mazim three Edom. Teaches us the Tanakhama, that Mishnah, that no, two Edom can be Mazim three Edom. That Rav Shimon says that the point of the Pasuk is that just like in order for Edom to become Edom Zoymimim, they both have to be identified as Edom Zoymimim. So if you have two Edom, in order for them to become Edom Zoymimim, they both have to be identified as Edom Zoymimim. Same thing over here, the halacha will be that if you have three Edom offering testimony, in order for them to become Edom Zoymimim, all three have to be identified as Edom Zoymimim. Rabbi Kiva has a third explanation. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Leibah Shlishi, The third aid that came is lahachmer alav lasas dina kiyotz beila. The point of the Torah speaking that about the three aidim, that is not that the Torah is coming to tell us all three have to become aidim zayimim, but rather the halacha is that if two of them say testimony, then the halacha is that im kain anisha kosov don mitra oivre avera. If Torah says that somebody who's part of a group of oivre avera are treated like oivre avera, and according to this way we understand Rabbi Kiva, is that all three, that even if two became Edom Zomimim, that even though all three didn't become Eidim Zomimim. If two became Eidim Zomimim, they're going to be treated like Eidim Zomimim. And others say that the third one is not ignored. That's the way Rashi learns. That two amazim de shloshim, the pasuk is coming to teach us that he gets punished similarly to the way the first one gets punished. That if the person gets punished because of his edus, the third one will be punished if the third one will be punished, even though he wasn't necessary. That's the way Rashi learns. Tosfos learns that he will be punished as an Eid Zomim, not only if he was an Eid Zomim, but even if he wasn't an Eid Zomim. So says the Gemara, Imkein Ansha Kosov, and Nitvalai Ververa, the Torah punishes somebody who's a group, who's in the group of Ivre Avera, certainly Alach's Kava Kama, She Yishalim Schar, as a Nitvalai Samitzvah. Somebody's part of a group of people who do mitzvah, he will get the Schar. Kais Samitzvah, as if he did the mitzvah. Umash Naim, and continues Rabbi Kiva, Im Nimtza Echmem Kar of Apostle, if one of them is disqualified, that loch is a dusan b'psela, that disqualifies the testimony. Av shloisha, if you have three edim, which again, you did not have to have three edim, nimtz echmem karav apostle, a dusan b'tela. If one of them is disqualified, that means the third one is disqualified, but we didn't even need his testimony, it doesn't make a difference. Av nan shafilu meya, says Rabbi Kiva, how do you know we have a group of 100 edim, and one of the 100 becomes disqualified, that affects the other 99 as well. Tamaloyma Edim. It doesn't make a difference how many Edim we have. One becomes disqualified, they all become disqualified. To which Rabbi Yosef comments. The Medvar Mamurim, when it was that said, Bedina Nefashis, that if one becomes disqualified, it affects the entire group. Ava Bedina Mamunis, when we speak about Dine Mamunis, Tiskaima Edis Bishar. Then the other Edom, we can rely on the other Edom. Rabbi Eimer, whereas Rabbi says, it doesn't make a difference. Echad Dine Mamunis, Echad Dine Nefashis. Whether we're speaking about Dine Mamunis or whether we're speaking about Dine Nefashis. Vemesai, Bezman Sheshubahem. That they all acted as Edom. That they all gave Hasra that we've been learning is critical to the procedure. Ab Bezman Shloihis Luhen. If the people who are disqualified Edim aren't the ones that gave us raw, my Yasushnaim Echav Echad says, well, what would be the case if we have three Edim? The three people that see something are two brothers and a third person. And they saw that somebody killed somebody else. Are we going to say that that can never be Edim? Because I happen to be standing here together with my brother? Of course not. The way we're going to say is one of the brothers will exclude himself from being an aid, and the other two will be aidim. So now, that's the way Ravina understands the machlokes of our Mishnah. He understands that the Mishnah is speaking about a case that there are three people who saw a woman being mezana, and Rameya holds that he, even though he didn't intend to be an aid, the proof being that he didn't give us raw, then he's not an aid, and therefore we have two kosher aidim. And I mean, he's still an aid, and since he's still an aid, even though he didn't give us raw, that we don't have aidim, and this is not a case of din and nefashos, and three dayanim, because we're only speaking about the ksuba, and the rabbanon hold that no, if he excluded himself by example, not giving us raw. Then the halacha is, it's still we have two qualified Edim. And since we have two qualified Edim, this person, this woman, could be Chayv Misa. And therefore, this is a case of Dinei Nefashos. So we have been now learning the halacha of Nitzamem Echad Akarv Apostle. So the question is, what is the way that the Edim become Edim, and then if we have a situation of Nimtza Echemem Karav Apostle or not. So Taisus Masechta Makis, Daf Vav Amar Aleph, the Vermaskala Sude, quotes Rabbeinu Chaim HaKoyin, is that the central factor to think about is what were the Edom, these people who were there, intention. He says, if this person, who's a disqualified witness, intended to be an aid, then he will disqualify the group. If they did not intend to testify together, then the fact, if the Edom that are kosher had no intention of testifying together with the person who's a apostle aid, then they're not one group. The Shach says, so according to Rabbi Chaim HaKoyin, it depends what was the intention of the kosher Edom. Did they want to include this person in the group, or did they not want to include him in the group? The Shach says that if everybody was the same, if everybody was just a spectator, then they will all become posel Edom. Says the Tzois, that what does that mean? That means, and he says that this is what should happen by every wedding. We know that by every wedding, we need to have two kosher Edom. So says the Tzois, what the Masada Kedushin with the Chosin are supposed to do is expressly designate two people to serve as Edom, and by designating them as being Edom, so everybody else was merely a spectator. These two people were designated to be Edom, and of course the two people that should be designated to be Edom should be people who are kosher Edom, and they're designated to the exclusion of everyone else. And once they're designated to the exclusion of everyone else, then they could be Edom, and everyone else is not part of the group of Edom, and if one of the people there apostle, it wouldn't make a difference. The Gemara Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yotes on the base, teaches us, Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Mar Okva, Kol Mispal Be'er Shabbos, whoever comes to shul Friday evening, Vayme Ve'yichulu, and he says, Ve'yichulu, Shnei Malacha Hasharas Malavan Lo'il Adam, the two Malachim that always escort us, Menichen Yedei Mal Roshoi, they placed their hands on this person's head, that the person will have kaparas avedis. So the question is, it's wonderful, but why? So Tzvah, quoting Rabbeinu Yechiel, says that when somebody recites Friday night in Shul Vayichulu, he's saying avedis on HaKadosh Baruch Hu having created the world. But we just learned that if somebody is a posel aid, if somebody's a disqualified aid, so he disqualifies the entire group. So we could have a whole shul, a whole community of people saying Vayichulu, and one of them is posel, he'll disqualify, as we just learned in the Gemara, Nimtza Echmem Kar posel, if one of them is posel, the halacha is Edusa B'Tela disqualifies the entire group. So therefore, what is necessary? Says the Gemara, that what the Malachim do is that they bring kaparas avoinus for the entire group that's standing there. So there's nobody that's apostle aid. And since there's nobody that's apostle aid, so therefore we could say testimony. But there are two questions. Now we could also understand why for that aidus, for saying Vayichulu, it's necessary to stand. Because Vayichulu is saying testimony. And we know that the halach is aidus is supposed to be said standing. But now, there's a question. Yes, if one of the people in the shul, Chas v'Shalom, did an Aveira, and therefore he becomes disqualified to be an aid, so by the Malachim bringing him this Kapara, that issue isn't there anymore. But the question now is, two questions. One question is, that what happens if you have in shul a Karev, a relative, amongst the group, is your brother, is your son, is your father. So we know, so that person, that we have two Edom that are related to each other. The other question is that Edus is not said at night. So how is it possible to accept this Edus if we're considering this an act of Edus? So of course, because of this question, the halacha is that this is not your regular case of Eidus. We're speaking about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. When we speak about Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's no question that whatever we say about him is the truth, because we all know that a Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world. But still, to a certain degree, we want it to be as close to Edom as possible, and therefore we want that the person, the Gemara is saying that we want that the person who's saying testimony should be a person that's believed. How could a person be believed if his Averis have Kaparas Averis? Our Gemara also spoke about somebody who's a Nitbal La'oisei Mitzvah. And this comes up very often in different areas of Halacha. The question is, if somebody attends a Siyam, and this person who's attending the Siyam did not learn together with everyone else, that can he be considered as if he attended the Siyam, that he's entitled to attend the Siyam, even though he didn't learn? And our Gemara clearly teaches us that a nitvo, if somebody is part of a group of Ivre Avera, he's connected to them, the Gemara said. Certainly somebody who's connected to somebody, people who do mitzvah are considered part of the group that do mitzvah. And therefore, the halachin, that's the halacha l'maisa. For example, on Erev Pesach, where we make a siyum b'chayrim, that b'chayrim should be able to eat. And the question is, if you have an individual who didn't learn with the group that's making a siyum, the question is, can he be included in the group and rely on that siyum? So most poskim take a lenient approach for two reasons. One reason is what we just said, that somebody who is nitbal oisei mitzvah, somebody who includes himself in a group of oisei mitzvah, has the halacha that he has the same halacha as the rest of the group. And second of all, the entire halacha of Tainus B'chayrim on Erev Pesach is not a very strong fast. And since it's not a very strong fast, the halacha will be that even somebody just attended the Siyam is adequate. Then the same question comes up during the 9 days. The halacha is that during the 9 days, if one participates in a Siyam, he could eat meat. But there the halacha is not exactly the same. First of all, it has to be a Siyam that the person who was learning during the came at the Siyam fell during the 9 days. Somebody who should deliberately try to set up that his Siyam should be during the 9 days in order that he should be able to eat, it's not so simple that that is acceptable. That's one question. And the other question is, there, could anybody who participates in the Siyam be considered acceptable to be part of the Siyam? Or do we say that in that situation, the only person that could rely on the Siyam during the 9 days is someone who would have been invited to the Siyam no matter what? In other words, somebody's a member of a shul, and there's a shir in the shul, and they're making a Siyam during the 9 days. So if he's a member, he's going to be invited to the Siyam, even though he doesn't necessarily learn with them. But if somebody who is not part of this community at all, and he's just going to show up to the Siyam in order to be able to eat meat, it's not that simple that he could be included in the Siyam. The Gemara continues in offering explanations of the Machlokes in our Mishnah of how many Dayanim do we have by the case of a Motzi Shemra. Vibay Seima, Kivin Shehisba and Acherim, if other people gave Hasra, V'lo Hisba Edim, and the Edom did not give Asra, Kamifli, and the Machlokes were plucked to Rabbi Yosef Rabbanan. Tetnan, Rabbi Yosef Emeloilim, and in Eric. Somebody doesn't get Mises Bezdin, Ache Pishne Edom Masrimba. Until the Edom who are saying testimony that whatever happened, were the Edom who gave the Asra. Shnemar, Api Shne Edom, Ashleisha Edom, Yumas Ameis. That everything, according to this opinion, everything has to be done on the Edom. The Chum say, as long as there was Hasra, the fact that the Hasra was not given by the Edom doesn't make a difference. And that's going to be the Machlokes in our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, it's going to be a case where this woman, there were Edom, this woman, there were Edom, and there was Hasra, but it wasn't the same people that gave the Hasra that saw the case. According to Rameya, there won't be a Chiv Misa. And therefore, in such a case, there won't be a need for 23 dayanim. Three dayanim will be sufficient. According to Rabbanon, it's considered a valid hasra. So this becomes a case of dina nefashos, and that's why 23 dayanim are needed. Gemara gives another explanation of the machlokes remained the chachamim. The Torah says regarding dayanim and the edim, v'derashta v'chakarta v'sha'alta heitiv v'hine emes nochen hadover. The Gemara later in Amasechta on Daf Mem Amun Aleph is going to teach us that this pasuk teaches us that the dayanim have to do chakiris and bedikis. Chakiris, we know, are the fundamental questions. Where did this happen? When did this happen? Sheva chakiris, seven of those type of questions have to be asked. Bedikis are questions, if the edim don't know the answer a question of the chakiris, or the two testimonies aren't consistent, that edis falls away. But then the question is about bedikis. The Gemara is going to give us an example of bedikis. Where is going to be an halacha if the edim don't know the answer to the bedikis or they're inconsistent? V'bay seima, the case of our Mishnah is talking back. You're going to schachish bedikis. The two edim were not consistent in questions of bedikis. V'lo schachish bechakiris, but they weren't. The chakiris they were consistent. The kamifki, and this is a machloikas that we're going to have later in the Masechta, machloikas ben Zakeh v'Rabbanan. The Tanan, Maisa, there was a story where somebody was killed under a fig tree, or Baduk ben Zakeh, and ben Zakeh asked the question about the Uqse Te'enim, the place where the figs were connected to the tree. How were they connected? What type of pieces of wood were there that connected these figs to the tree? And the two edim were inconsistent with their testimony. According to Ben Azai, the edus falls away. According to the Chachamim, this is not essential to their testimony, and their edus can remain. And that's going to be the Machloek Sana Mishnah. Ramea holds, since this edus with the Bedikis weren't consistent, and since the edus with the mezikas were not consistent, it falls away, and therefore this is not going to be a capital case, and three dayanim are sufficient. According to Rabbanan, they still could say edus, and since they could still say edus, the halacha is that this is a question of nefashos, and that's why you need 23 edim. It's also important to point out that the Rishonim say the part of the testimony of this edim must include that there were no other edim. Because if there were other edim, even if these two edim cannot be considered edim anymore, but Ben Azai would have to be concerned maybe other edim are going to come, and then it will turn into a cap, and they may be consistent in their testimony. The only way that that could be upheld is if these two edim say we were only two people there, and if we're being disqualified, there are no edim showing up to say that this is a dina nefashos. Amar Rabbi Yosef, hevi baal edim shezinsa. If a husband brought edim that his wife had this adulterous relationship when she was arusa, vehevi av edim, and then the father brought edim, zimul edim baal. He said those edim were mazim, the first pair. Edim baal naharagim, so those original edim are taken to death. The reason the chai misa, because the Torah says v'sisim loy kashazom lasis lochiv. They wanted to sentence this woman to death. So now when they were turned into being edim zayimim, the Torah says v'sisim loy kashazom lasis lochiv. They get the punishment that they wanted to cause the person who they said testimony about to get. However, they mishalman money. Mammon, this halacha that we have throughout Shas, of Kimlei with the Rabbanei, we never give the person a double punishment. And here, the Edim wanted to kill her, because they were saying testimony that she was Mazana. They also wanted her to lose a ksuba. And the halacha is, Kimlei with the Rabbanei, we don't give both punishment. The halacha is we only give the punishment, the more serious punishment, the chai misa. They don't have to pay the value of the ksuba. Because the Torah says, And the Torah says if somebody causes that somebody should die, that the children should die, pregnant woman should miscarry, but nobody else died, so that's when they have to pay for the value of those unborn children. That somebody died, so then they wouldn't have to pay, because there would be chayiv misa, and if you chayiv misa, there's no chayiv mamon. It's also very important to point out that when we speak about the woman collecting her ksuba in a case where that is the case, where that will be that lockup, we're not speaking about the entire value of the ksuba, because it's not necessarily that she would have anyway collected her ksuba, because what would happen if she died before the husband died? So then there's no ksuba. So what? There's always an assessed value, how much people will want to pay for a ksuba, and of course there's a risk that the ksuba will never be collectible. That is the matter we speak about when we speak about paying for a ksuba. But now, continues the Gemara, chos v'hevi baal edim. So again, what happened here was the husband brought edim that his wife had this adulterous relationship when she was a rusa. The father brought edim to be mazim those edim. And now the husband brought edim, v'zimla de'av. They were mazim the edim of the father. So now the original edim testimony is reinstated. And not only is that, but the edim of get the punishment. The Edei Av that wanted to cause that this may, that these Edim that they said were Edim Zomim should be killed because of Kasha Zomim, now Rogim, they're going to be killed. And they Mishamim on, and now they will pay money. So the question is, why? Didn't we say you don't give both punishments? It says here, both punishments are given because Mom and Lizette, they wanted to cause the husband to have to pay the ksuba. Nefashis lezeh, they wanted to cause that the edim that the husband brought should have to pay, should have to be killed. The halach is, the where do we say kimleh b'drabmanei? So the Gemara suggests that we only say kimleh b'drabmanei where you wanted to cause both punishments. You were going to get both punishments, or you were going to cause somebody to get both punishments. So there you only get one of the two, the most serious of the two. But here, it wouldn't have been the same. It wouldn't have been the same person. You would have been obligated, the husband, to pay the ksuba, and the Edom Zomim, the people you were claiming were Edom Zomim, to get killed. In such a case, since it's not the same person, so there Allah is that you, we do say, we don't say kimlev d'ramenei, and both punishments are given. So Taisus asks that the Gemara says that if somebody was chasing somebody else to kill him, and while he was running to kill the person, he broke somebody else's kelim, the halacha is that kimlev d'ramenei, he's chayiv misa, and he's not chayiv mamon. But ask Taisus, according to what we're learning now in the Gemara, if the chayiv misa is because of one person, and the chiv mamon is for another person, we don't say kimlev d'ramenei, so why don't we say there? Says Taisus that there, a roidif is chayiv misa. Who is a roidif chayiv misa? Who is obligated to kill him? Everybody's obligated to kill the roidif. Whoever sees a roidif, given the proper conditions, everybody is chayiv misa. So since everybody's chayiv to kill him, he's chayiv misa, and he's ready to kill everybody, so it's considered that he's chayiv misa to everybody. The Amar Rabbi Yosef. If somebody comes to Beis Din and says, Ploini Rava L'Antzai, that he was sodomized against his will, who, this person who's saying testimony, the Acher and another aid, Mitztarfin L'Hargoy, could combine to be Edom. And Taisa says, a tremendous chiddush our Gemara is teaching us. A person who, Rachmana Litzlan, sodomized somebody, obviously the perpetrator is going to be somebody that the victim hates. And we would think that that should be enough to disqualify him to be an aid. From our Gemara, we would see that that doesn't disqualify somebody to be an aid. But let's say the person says, that it was done to my I was a willing participant. So he's a Rasha. But Tairama al Tasha Rasha aid, he can't be considered an aid. So Taisus asks that Rava teaches us in Amasakhta that the only individual who's a Rasha that's disqualified for being an aid is a Rasha the Chamas, the person who's a thief. That means he's a dishonest person. This person who participated in this Aveira is not a Rasha the Chamas. So why is he disqualified? Says Taisus that somebody who does such an Aveira, why does he do such an Aveira? We're talking about a personal Ritzoine that he willingly participated in such a Aveira, because he doesn't care. So he doesn't care about what the Torah says. And therefore, he's considered a person that we have to be concerned that he did an Aveira. The Taisus also gives another Teretz. Yes, Rava limits that a person is possible for Edus only if he's a Rosh of the Chumash. But that's for a different case. So if somebody was called to say testimony about Chil Shabbos, for example, and he, now, is he disqualified or not? We have to see what type of Aveira he does. But to say testimony about an Aveira that this person violates, even though his disqualification is not regarding Chumash, that he is a thief, but for the Aveira that he himself is not careful about, he can't be called to be a testimony. He can't be called to say testimony. Another text that the Yad Ramah suggests is that even though Rava said that who is disqualified to be an aid, it has to be a Rosh of the Chamas, that's only if the person hasn't done Averis for which there's a Chiv Mises Bezdin. But if the person has violated Averis, like an Al Gemara, which there's a Chiv Mises Bezdin, then he's disqualified to be an aid even according to Rava. Rava says that this person is not disqualified based on his own testimony. Because says Rava, there's a rule, Adam Karveitz Atzmai. We're all related to ourselves, and therefore, since an eight other Mesa Matzma Rasha, a person can't say testimony that incriminates himself. And therefore, just, and the way I saw the Rishonim explain the Gemara, just like a relative can't say Edus, what the Gemara means to say is that you can't say Edus that incriminates yourself. And the Miches Chinuch says that this halacha only applies to Jews, because the halacha of Ein Adam Meisim Atzmei Rasha only applies to Yisraelim. It doesn't apply to Nachrim. So therefore, says Rava, that if the person who said Ploni Lirvani Lirtzoinai, the halacha is on the part that he's saying that he did something wrong, we don't accept him, because we don't accept the testimony, because Ein Adam Meisim Atzmei Rasha. On the part that he's saying that somebody else did the Aveira, on that part, we do accept. And this is what's known in Halacha as the concept of Palgid and Debura, that we divide the Edus into half, and we accept the half that he says about the other person, and we don't accept the half that says, that speaks about himself. Of course, the Rishonim ask that number of questions. One is, isn't there a rule of Hadas Baldin Kamei Edim Dami? So why is that ignored? So the answer is that we only accept Hadas Baldin Kamei Edim Dami when nobody else will be affected by the testimony besides the person himself. But if your testimony doesn't affect just you, affects other people as well, then we don't say the rule of Hadas Baldin Kamei Kameya Edom Dami. Now the question, of course, is why don't we say Eid Shabbat Mitzvah Shabbat Kula? That if we're saying that he's not believed on the part of Ritzoinoi about himself, that should disqualify the entire Eidus, as we've been learning. And Eid Shabbat Mitzvah Shabbat Kula should affect the Eidus that he's saying on the perpetrator. The answer is that once we apply the halacha of Adam Karva Eitzel Atzmai, and he's not a kosher aid, what that means to say is the halacha ignores as if he said anything about himself. If the halacha ignores as if he said anything about himself, it only is considered that he spoke about the other person. if it's only considered as if he spoke about the other person and not about himself, so then we have a perfect testimony that he walked in and he said that somebody did such a horrible aveira.